think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning and got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. Welcome back. Now, President Trump has 9 days to turn himself into a Georgia court. He is facing an arraignment on 13 charges brought by the Fulton County District Attorney. This indictment cites 12 of the former president's tweets, including a December 2020 post when he claimed he had enough votes to flip Georgia. There's a tweet from January of 2021 where he claimed then Vice President Pence can reject electors. And then there are two other tweets that show Trump telling his followers where they can watch hearings on the Georgia election. These are the quote-unquote pieces of evidence for Georgia indicting Trump.
These are the pieces of whatever you want to call them, but they're not evidence. That's what they're going to try to present in Georgia against Trump and the others indicted along with him. You were listening then to Maria Bartiromo talking about how Trump has until Friday week to turn himself in and surrender, and we've already been told they plan on mugshot, fingerprints. I mean, they're going to make him look like the worst mobster since Al Capone, maybe even bigger. You already had heard some of the leftists saying this is a bigger story than Watergate. The fact that they're presenting tweets, you're going to make a criminal charge out of what someone puts on a tweet? I told you from the beginning, all of these charges coming out of Georgia pretty much simply can be reduced to First Amendment issues. Freedom of speech. That's what the tweet is. Of course, you didn't have freedom when it was not controlled by Musk. And you still don't have freedom with Facebook and other social-related outlets. If they don't like what you're saying, I got a notice the other day that somebody complained that something I did might have been against their policy, so they're going to put a restraint on what, I don't know. They didn't explain what it is. Just because someone made a complaint, that's the way they're going to act. We have the leftists looking under every possible area, pulling things aside. So there's got to be something here somewhere. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, August 16, 2023. This is the first hour of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. The video of the show will be streaming at News Talk STL, Facebook, and Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Facebook, and Twitter, unless they shut us off. And also on Rumble. So we're glad to have you doing it and reminding you this is the first of 2 hours. We're back-to-back, 6 to 8 o'clock, Monday through Friday. So this RICO Act, the whole issue about the RICO Act, of course, was to escalate an opportunity to go into all kinds of things. Keep in mind, the prosecutor in Fulton County has handled all of this for about 3 years, her so-called inquiry and investigation. And a lot of what they presented the other day is, quote, evidence, as you heard Maria Bartiromo kind of disgustingly admit, that's what they're claiming is evidence, or simple tweets. And Trump had every right, as has every Democrat, including Hillary Clinton and Stacey Abrams in Georgia, to claim that I won the election, I didn't lose. You can't charge someone because they don't think the election was fair. Now, what they do to try to prove that they think it's unfair, You might have a case. But Andrew McCarthy, former U.S. prosecutor, Southern District of New York, says the RICO Act that they're trying to use here, that's not the intent of it.
I really think that it's a mistake for her to have brought a RICO case. I know she says she has experience in these prosecutions. I don't think this is a well thought out RICO. And I think in a nutshell, you know, the problem that she has is the main thing that was the objective of the people that she has tried to cast as a racketeering enterprise was to retain Trump in office. So that was like a sort of a temporally fleeting objective. It wasn't a money-generating thing. Like, generally speaking, in the kind of organized crime entities that we're talking about, the reason that you have RICO is because there's an economic purpose to it. They generate money through the commission of a series of crimes, etc. Here, the objective here was not to be a member of a group, like it is in a mafia case where, you know, the objective is to be a member of the mafia family and to generate income through its activities. Here, the objective was a lawful one, which they may have used unlawful means occasionally to try to get over the finish line, which was to retain Trump in power. But that's not the kind of glue that would keep a racketeering organization together.
I wanted to make sure you heard the last part of that statement from Andrew McCarthy, because while this is Larry Connors USA, and I voiced my opinion, I always try to give you balance in it. And there was McCarthy, former U.S. prosecutor, saying, you know, I think the RICO Act was not to be used in this case, and that she probably has no real understanding. She's just kind of cobbling things together. But he added that if they did something that crossed over the line, well, then maybe she would have something. I could have left that part out. You would never have known. And I just say, oh, it's all clean. Well, I don't know that it's all clean. But from what we've seen and what they're trying to do, I'll give you another example. In addition to McCarthy, Chris Swecker, former assistant FBI agent, I correct that, former assistant director of the FBI, Chris Swecker, saying, this is a clear abuse of the RICO Act.
When we start indicting people for tweets, we're in big trouble. So if you look at this 98-page indictment, it is an incredibly grandiose stretch, in my opinion. I've worked with the RICO statutes, not necessarily the one in Georgia, but the federal ones. And the best way to lose this tool to fight organized crime is to abuse it. And I look at this as an abuse of the RICO statute. That's not what it's designed for. This is really an effort to eradicate Trump supporters in Fulton County and the state of Georgia.
He made a statement there. He said the county of the Fulton County in Georgia and the state of Georgia, if it's going to be statewide, which is what the claim is, not just Fulton County, Atlanta area, you would expect the attorneys general of the state to sign on to that, would you not? Because it's statewide. Okay, well, maybe not that position, but maybe other county prosecutors would join and sign on this. Not one signed on an agreement with what Fannie Mills is doing as a prosecutor. You want to ask why? Because she's in it all for her own ego. There's no doubt that's what she's doing. And she's one of many prosecutors that are still trying to find something that will take Donald Trump's scalp so they can hold it up high and say, we got him. Now, you don't have to be a Trump supporter or an anti-Trump to understand if we're not dealing in true equitable justice, that's wrong. That's wrong. Let me put it this way. If the cases were reversed, if I saw Republican members or identifying as Republicans going after Biden on such indifferent tweets and so forth, you could make some noise over it, but there's not criminal charges. And I would call it out. I don't hear anyone on the left saying this is not a criminal case. No. No, they're applauding in the wings and hoping it goes all the way. But back to Andrew McCarthy, former U.S. prosecutor, Southern District of New York. He says the Georgia prosecutor is simply stumbling her way around.
She's groping for a crime. What she really needs is a simple conspiracy that has a simple objective. A conspiracy is simply an agreement by two or more people to violate another law, you know, some criminal law. And if retaining Trump in office was a crime, then she'd have an easy, simple, straight line conspiracy. She really doesn't have that because the objective is not illegal, even if some of the means they used to try to obtain the objective may have been.
May have been. He alludes that it, you have to keep that in mind. It may have been some of the means. But Trump and all the others indicted on may have been? That sounds weak in the beginning, does it not? Jonathan Turley, George Washington University professor, also a Fox News contributor, said, it's as if the prosecutor went out with a grab bag looking for anything and everyone she could throw into the bag.
The indictment is, as we expected, founded on this broad racketeering claim. You've got 18 individuals who are charged. Willis seems to have charged everything and everyone is allowing God to sort them out. You know, you look at this indictment and every call, every tweet, every speech seems to be a separate criminal act that composes this conspiracy. That raises really troubling questions as to the criminalization of the challenges to elections. You know, I've been covering presidential elections a long time. I can't remember how many. But in every single presidential election, we track challenges by Democrats, by Republicans. Some of them are based on strong evidence. Some are not.
Some are not. That's Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor. Harvard law professor emeritus Alan Dershowitz had pointed out, and I told you yesterday about it. He said, you look back to the Al Gore, Bush v. Gore case, and Dershowitz was leading Al Gore's case in that. And I want to quote Dershowitz. He said, we challenged the election. We did much of the things that are being done today, and people praised us. I wrote a best-selling book called Supreme Injustice. Now they're making what we did a crime. He said, and yet Trump and the allegations and what's been going on are very similar to what we did. Do you remember the hanging chads? When they were saying, oh, something's wrong, we got to make sure they were holding them up, looking. Was that intentionally pushed or did they push it by accident? Does that count as a vote or not? I remember going into an overnight breakfast place thinking, well, the election sold up and it's all done. And I come out. About an hour and a half later, and turn all the way, I hear, the election's not over. And it dragged on. Remember that? So with the Georgia case, we have four different indictments against Trump, all in recent months. And often these indictments release the day after or days after damaging information regarding Joe Biden. So there's that. And all these trials supposedly are going to be started and maybe concluded before the November 2024 elections. Timing. Timing is another part of the leftist agenda.
This indictment obviously could have been brought long before yesterday. It seemed to have been timed to hit right in the middle of the election. And now we have a pileup. You know, this president is being really pursued pillar to post across the country in different jurisdictions. There's going to be a reaction to that.
There would be a reaction to it in the sense that the American public begins to think, this is not right. It has spurred the polls to go up for Trump. And, of course, those who are already with him are just more inflamed. And others are jumping on because they just see an injustice. Now, of course, you can't really trust the polls that much right now. But when they're taken immediately after some of these indictments are issued or the charges are issued, they're pretty direct and cut to the main issue. With this facing him, where do you stand? And keep in mind, too, that out of Georgia, just the Georgia case, forget any of the other cases in Mar-a-Lago and the information, or rather the affidavits he was holding, the supposedly top secret material, and then the other cases against him, you've got here where basically you've got Trump and 18 co-defendants, and this prosecutor is indicating, I want to try them all at one time. My God, that's going to be a circus. I've been to cattle auctions. I've been to rodeos. I've been to train wrecks, and this is going to surpass all of them. That is going to be, somebody's got to be in there with a whip and pouncing, getting right back, because it'll be objection after objection after objection. You think they could get anything done? Of course they can. Now, that should tell you immediately how much idiocy is being put into this supposed prosecution. Strike that. Not supposed prosecution. Clearly persecution of Donald Trump and anyone that's on his side. Either in the past, now, or will be. And when you hear that the Georgia prosecutor is intent on getting all this done before the election and bringing it to trial just about the time, I don't know, maybe of the GOP National Convention, somewhere in there, you can tell that it's all laid out because, as you heard, again, Jonathan Turley, George Washington professor, point out, this could have been done months and months ago, but they didn't do that. See, when you have a calendar laid out and you see this is the target date, the closer we get, here's where we start stacking things up. If we're going to be looking at a conspiracy, I say we look at the prosecutors in all these cases and get emails and communications back and forth between them from Georgia to New York all the way around. Let's see what they've got exchanged. Now, of course, they've probably gotten smart enough, oh, don't put anything in writing. Well, they might not. I'd like to see it. But again, the former acting assistant director of the FBI, Chris Swecker, says, no way this is going to happen.
You take those 18 defendants and their lawyers and figure, you know, at least a half a dozen motions for each one of them on different issues. All that have to be litigated, motions in limine, all kinds of constitutional issues here. This is going to be the forever litigation. I don't think there's any way they're going to fit this in before the election, although that is the prosecutor's intent, and that is what she would like to do. You know, there's an ego-driven motive here as well. All these tin-horn prosecutors want to be the first one to get Trump criminally. And it's become, you know, sort of a notch in your belt, if you will, a way to gain notoriety, both politically and as a, you know, in these Democratic strongholds. So I just don't see this one getting any legs before the election.
Not likely at all. Tinhorn prosecutors, he nailed that. Coming up, the guest on his views on these Trump indictments, the guest that some of you hate. You don't want him on this program. Never Trumper, former New York Congressman John LeBoutier. In the second hour today, the price of doing business with Communist China, plus other issues concerning China and our economy in the second hour. And before this hour is over, a California father says the school district exposed his 8-year-old child to transgender ideology. Put a book in front of her and said, we're all going to study this book. Dad says she's 8 years old. She still believes in the tooth fairy. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel, low number seven, Tennessee.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think I could use some of that old number seven right now. And my guest, I don't know, but you join me in a drink there, John, if we were together?
Of course I would, Larry. I don't really drink, but for you and to celebrate after all these years of spirited discussion, we would have to have a spirited.
Oh, I love the thinking. John LeBoutier, former New York congressman. He is a Reaganite. He is a never-Trumper. He wrote the book, Harvard Hates America. And as I said coming into you, John, a lot of people hate that I have you on the air. They don't want you on, but I say, no, I agree with what you just said. It's good, engaging conversation. So let's get your first take on the latest indictments out of Georgia. Good thing, bad thing, or just a mess?
Oh, it's a mess. I mean, all of it's a mess. Everything, the Trump leaves a mess in his wake wherever he goes. And, what he's done to the Republican Party, especially in Georgia, he cost us two Senate seats, cost us the presidency, cost us control of the Senate. And Georgia was sort of the epicenter of the screw ups by Donald Trump. And now, you know, we're all going to pay for it. He's going to pay for it legally. At some point, it's going to take a while. That this will not be the first trial. The first trial will be the one in D.C. with a judge that he's already been out offending in his Truth Social posts, and that's a bad move on his part. She's tough. She sentences people to more than the prosecutors ask for, and he's going to have his fate in her hands. And
all right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to be insulting her.
I did not want to interrupt you as you went through that, and I want to break some of it down. Okay. The very first thing I asked you was what's your reaction? You immediately started piling on Trump. You don't have anything to say. You don't have anything to say about the prosecutor and these conspiracy charges based on tweets? And Alan Dershowitz saying, we're doing the same thing we did in Gore v. Bush.
No, so it's not the same he did not get indicted for the tweet.
No, he didn't.
Actions, right? Actions that he took in 13 different instances that were then supported by tweets and public statements.
And that's supposed to be like a cited evidence, in right? Thing. 12 yeah. tweets from him, and keep in mind. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows also indicted. One of his text messages, just like a phone number of the Pennsylvania contacts, the POTUS wants to talk to them. He asked for a phone number. They put that down as a piece of evidence of a conspiracy. And prosecutors I made it clear to the audience. One was Andrew McCarthy. He appears on Fox. The other is Chris Swecker, former FBI assistant agent in charge. And others have said she stepped over the line. She might have maybe something, but rolling it into a RICO Act, trying to put all this together, there's your mess before you get to what you say Trump did. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know that. I pay attention to Andrew McCarthy. I think he's a smart guy. He believes Trump is ruined by these charges. The ones leading up to this one, and that the Republicans are crazy to run him. I think they're crazy too. He may win the nomination hands down. I'm sure he will, but so what? What good's that if you lose in the general election and take the party down with you? That's what I think is, if you look at this politically, legally, since I talked to you last week, I've been thinking about the first trial will be that one in Washington. That's streamlined by Jack Smith. Four charges, Judge Chutkan, going to set the date on August 28th for when next year the trial will occur. And that is the case that Trump fears more than anything, because it's in Washington and she's tough. She's, to me,
can he get a fair trial in Washington?
She is Judge Sirica in a skirt. And Judge Sirica, for those who don't remember, he was the tough Washington, D.C. judge that blew Watergate wide open by forcing the Watergate underlings, the guys that did the robbery itself. He sentenced them to such terribly long sentences that they broke ranks and ratted out G. Gordon Liddy and upperlings, and off it went up the chain. And I think this Judge Chutkan's tough the same way.
Since you brought that case up of Watergate, there are some on the left saying this case, all of these cases against Trump, are worse than Watergate. Do you agree with that?
I think they're way worse.
Whoa.
I think they're way worse, because what happened in Watergate...
Go ahead.
Well, what Nixon did, Nixon didn't order the break-in at the Watergate. He thought it was, when he found out about it, was the stupidest thing he ever heard of, because there isn't any valuable information at the Democratic National Headquarters. It's nothing worth getting. But these overeager people in the White House who wanted to please Nixon and come up with the dirt on McGovern, they did it. And then when Nixon found out about it, he helped cover it all up.
And the cover-up.
With Haldeman and Ehrlichman, Colson, and all his staff, because he was loyal to them. That's not the same as this. This is Trump lost the election.
And he complained that he lost it.
He was telling people he was going to lose before he lost, and if I lose, it's because it's rigged. So he's off on this thing, and he's everywhere. He's trying to fake electors, lying about this and that, lying to the American people right away. It's not right.
Lying to the American public is not a crime. It's not criminal.
No.
Okay.
No,
so,
but you don't lie. You don't lie about something unless you have something to hide.
But how do you know he didn't believe it? How do you know he didn't believe it?
Because he's a smart guy, and he knew months in advance.
A lot of smart people out there say we did not have a fair election. Period.
No, there are. By the way, that's not true.
Did we have a fair election with
nobody?
Did we have a fair election?
Listen, Larry, I've been in politics for 50 years.
Yes, sir.
The notion
you're much older than I.
The notion you've been in radio.
No. Stick with your story.
Okay, but no, in elections, their elections are run by thousands of people around the country, not one or two or three people who might be able to rig it. This thing is done in every local county and election district in every state in the country. It is, thank God we have this system, because you can't rig it.
Well, now let me ask you this.
And there is no evidence it was rigged, and Trump blew his presidency. That's the real story. He behaved so badly as president. He didn't do COVID well. He was judged
I want to dig on that just briefly. What do you mean he didn't do COVID well? He took the advice Dr. Fake was giving him at the time, and he ramped up getting pharmaceuticals out and said, trying to make, let's cut some of the red tape, but keep them safe. And he got the incoming president, vice president, inoculated, vaccinated before they took it. So it looks to me
Wait a second. The vaccine, thank God for the vaccine, that didn't come till after the election. We didn't get any
until
December after the election.
But they got the vaccines that fast.
Well, that's great. And by the way, Pfizer was not part of the Trump Operation Warp Speed. They did it on their own, and they came out first. And they announced it the Monday after the election. So it wasn't the issue in the election. What was an issue was Trump and those stupid press conferences. And can we inject bleach into ourselves?
He never said that. He never said, John,
yes,
he did not say put bleach.
He asked.
I'm going to disagree with you constantly on that.
He asked.
What
he
about said, the
can
FBI?
Can we put light? Can we wash up?
He said, yeah, light. And they use an ultraviolet light to kill off germs sometimes. Yes,
no,
they do.
They don't do any of that
all
for
right.
this thing.
All right, let's go back. My point is with the last election.
You think Joe Biden is a doddering old man?
No. Oh, well, yeah, he needs to be.
Being,
he is definitely having issues, but I feel for him.
Here's
to that
my
extent.
Point. This is what he was called in 2020 by Trump, Sleepy Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Not up to the job, down in the basement, doesn't come out. Trump lost by 10 million votes to this guy.
Well,
what does
point,
that tell you? Hold on. What does that tell you about Trump's behavior as president?
I'm not going to defend this. Had he been a properly behaved president,
he should have been able to beat this doddering old Sleepy Joe.
I'm not going to defend all of his remarks. I've already said that to the audience. Right. I think he lacks class, which I wish he hadn't. He kept his mouth and off the tweet machine.
Yeah,
but before a single vote was cast, the FBI, being weaponized, had already put their fist on the ballot and telling everyone in the news agencies, state-controlled and big tech, don't touch the Hunter laptop story. It's bogus. It's Russian disinformation. And the story was ignored by every major state-controlled news organization, except for the New York Post and conservative outlets.
Well, hold on.
Very quickly, in the last 30 seconds. Do you not think that affected the election?
Wait a second. We don't have state control of the media.
I know. That's my term. I'm mocking it. But I want to give you the last 30 seconds. You don't think by them saying that it didn't exist and they knew the FBI had it, the FBI was, a lot of folks have said they might have changed their vote. Maybe yes. No. I don't want to interrupt you for the last 20 seconds.
I don't think it had anything to do with any votes at all. Hunter Biden is not a government person. He's the son of a then candidate for president.
Right.
I mean, and by the way, what you're going to see coming in the next few weeks, watch out, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump Jr., because the Democrats now say, if you're going to go after Hunter Biden, we're going after the Trump kids.
I'm not surprised.
In the past, kids were not part of the campaign. You didn't attack them. They weren't fair game.
Just like the mobsters, you don't go after the family. Yeah. John, we're right up against the clock as always. Thank you. We share that. Jack, John LaBoutière. Thank you, sir. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Jolene, 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 Jolene. I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 Jolene.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My people in Louisiana, for example, the median household income for a family of four in Louisiana is about $55,000 to $60,000 a year. Because of President Biden's inflation and Bidenomics, they're paying an extra $700 a month, $9,000 a year, and they don't have it. Yes, if there's any good news, the rate of inflation has been falling. Now, what does that mean? That just means prices are still going up, but they're not going up as quickly as they were. But these, I hate to say it, but these high prices, they are permanent. Even if inflation goes to zero tomorrow, we're still going to be stuck with these higher prices, which are a direct result of President Biden's economic policy.
You're going to be stuck even if the rates go to zero. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, Republican. Now, if you take what he just said and you start thinking about it, you mean the way Biden economics or Bidenomics, whatever they want to call it, or the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, whatever, we're never going to get around this until we redo everything. And part of it begins with stop the spending. Stop the spending. If you're going to spend it on Americans. I got to go back to this. I touched on it yesterday, but I'm going to be like a dog after a bone on this story, this particular angle. We are in the process of preparing to send more money to Ukraine. We've already sent more than $110 billion, and we're going to spend more yet. And we've already put federal dollars aside to house illegals coming into the country, taking over hotel space, government paying for them, or having an NGO serve as a go-to agent, a non-government agency take care of acquiring the hotel and everything, but somebody's got to pay for it. You're paying for it. And we're taking care of anyone and everyone except for Americans. Does Biden really realize that Hawaii is part of the U.S. of A.? That is a blue state in the center of the blue Pacific. But I got to tell you, they're seeing a lot of red right now after these wildfires, leaving more than 100 dead at last count, and a larger part of Maui wiped out. And Biden's proposing, we're going to help them out. We're going to give every household $700, a one-time $700 payment. Do you remember he was willing to say, you got student debt you can't pay? Well, we'll just waive $10,000 right off it, or maybe $20,000, depending on how you qualify. But if you're a fire evacuee victim in Maui, your household gets one $700 payment. Now, they're going to end up moving that around. I know they will. But that's their approach. This is after Biden was asked about the disaster in Hawaii while he's sunbathing on the beach at Rehoboth Beach in Delaware, and his answer was no comment. And boy, did the backlash start, even among some Democrats, say, hey, you got to do better than that. You know, so then he announced, well, Jill and I are going to go to Hawaii, probably next week. And to this extent, he's right. He doesn't want to rush in and take away efforts needed to help those right now and continue the search effort for those who are still missing, which at last report again says maybe 20% of the area has been fully searched by cadaver dogs. And again, I remind you, there might have been a lot that got lost at sea. They dove off cliffs to escape the flames and into the ocean, assuming they hit the water before they hit rocks or went in too shallow. But the stats in our economic situation deserve a closer look. Now, I know it's not as sexy as the Trump story, but this is your pocketbook we're talking about. Our GDP growth, our gross domestic product growth, is at 2.4%, supposedly looking better than it has been. They want to point out that our inflation rate is at 3.2%, the lowest of all G7 nations. Now, by G7 nations, they're talking about Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United Kingdom, and the European Union, in addition to us. do you get any solace because you have the lower rate than any of those? You don't live there, do you? You don't pay their taxes. It has no concern to you, right? But that's what the Biden economics group wants to point out. We have the lowest inflation rate of any of these G7 nations. But keep in mind, the overall inflation rate since Joe Biden took office, up 16%. Grocery prices up 20%. And they also want to point, by the way, to unemployment. Look, we're at 3.5%. Lowest it's been in a long time. And then brag that we put 800,000 to work. Well, that's because they came off of COVID, and they want to say, look, we got businesses going forward again. It's all part of the effort to pull the wool over your eyes and take money from you to give to illegals. But they do have those inside, as you heard my guest, John Labutier, didn't like me using the term. I'm going to continue using it. State-controlled media. You're right. You're right. They're not actually controlled by the state. But then again, if the FBI can contact them, as they did about the Hunter Biden laptop, say, you know, that's a Russian collusion. You don't need to touch that. And they shut it all down. If they weren't controlled, they were certainly directed or, wink, wink, here's what you should not do. And they did not do. But they also have those when it comes to Bidenomics, like PBS, which you support with taxpayer dollars, carrying the water for Bidenomics.
Bidenomics is just another way of saying restoring the American dream.
The new message as Biden ramps up his 2024 reelection campaign follows a string of good economic headlines. Unemployment at near record lows. Inflation among the lowest of the G7 nations. GDP growth at 2.4% last quarter. And recession fears fading on Wall Street.
Recall, these fancy people used to say, well, a recession is inevitable. Now, however, those same people acknowledge that President Biden and I have delivered strong and steady growth for our nation.
A year ago, soaring gas and grocery prices cast a shadow over the president's agenda. Now, things are different.
The economy looks very strong. It looks very strong.
Laura Tyson served as chief economist for President Bill Clinton. Like many economists, she's increasingly optimistic about the country's trajectory.
The inflation rate has come down a lot, and the economy has continued to grow enough to keep the unemployment rate down, to keep labor force participation rates up, to generate some real wage growth, to generate strength in the labor market. So I put all that together and say that's a pretty strong macro economy.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong economy if you phrase it that way and talk about the inflation rate going down. But as I pointed out to you again, you've got the situation that overall inflation rate since Biden took office went up 16%. And last year it was about 6+%, and now it's at 3.5. So, okay, we reduced from the first year. And he wants to brag that he's done everything for American business. First thing he did was shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Do you remember that? Of course you do. What good was that for American business? What good is it for U.S. business now? We're going to rely on communists in many cases. Which brings me to the issue of communist China. One analyst says China is in bad shape and there could be ripple effects.
Their real estate sector, which is about 30% of their economy, which is a huge component, has been in a downward trend for the last 2 years at least. Just this week, one of their biggest property developers, Country Garden, is in danger of going under. It's a massive problem, and it looks like it's going to continue. Youth unemployment, last reading, was about 20% plus youth unemployment in China. So bad, as you mentioned, they've decided that they're no longer going to be releasing even data on youth unemployment. Foreign direct investment into China is down. Manufacturing is slowing. They didn't get a pop like they thought they would coming out of their zero COVID policies. It's bad shape for China right now. And geopolitically, it's getting a lot tougher.
And it's going to be hard all around the world is what he's saying. That's Lee Steinhauer author of The New Cold War. You heard him say that the youth unemployment is way down, unemployment, about 20% of the Chinese youth unemployed. So China communists say, quit reporting the numbers, then we won't see them. And he talked about dealing with China. Well, Kenny Pecari with Case Capital says, that's why I don't touch it.
I don't invest in China. I think there are too many other places in this world to put your money than to get into, like you just said, a communist nation that can change the rules at any moment, right? And to your point, they just cancel the news that they don't want anyone to hear, and they shut you out from things they don't want you to know, and it's baloney.
Yeah, baloney. I wonder, are they taking a lesson from Joe Biden, or is he taking it from them? Just asking for a friend. More on the U.S. economy and communist China policy in our second hour. Coming up, how one parent found out his 8-year-old was being indoctrinated.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My daughter was forced to watch a video in her third grade classroom regarding being transgender. Texas actually outlawed this book specifically. I didn't understand why they would show this to my daughter, and she's 8 years old. She still believes in the tooth fairy and Santa Claus. And, you know, when you're molding a young mind and you put the thought of something in their head like this, it's going to go to another place. And clearly that played out over the next few weeks at the playground and after school. It was unnecessary. Had the parents been given an option to opt out of something like this, you know, we would have opted our daughter out of this. If someone wants to teach this to their kids, so be it. I'm not going to get involved in their life, but they're now getting involved in my life and, you know, my beliefs.
That is a California father talking about a school district in California presenting her 8-year-old and other classmates with a book called Call Me Max, story of a young girl who suddenly wants to be identified as a boy. Call Me Max. So they plant this into the child's mind. These are third graders. Do you not see that there's an agenda to groom or begin to move them toward accepting transitioning into another gender or question their own sexual identity? Our children, first of all, let our children be children. Okay, let's start there. All you need to do is love and nurture them. You don't need to start trying to bend their minds to your will of some, maybe if it's, even if you're trying to push something good on them. But especially when you're pushing something like this, it would open them up to tormenting themselves going forward in their lives. In the second hour coming up, you're going to hear from a mother who said, I was progressive, I admit I was, and I thought, maybe my child is a wrong gender, and I went along with it. And I'm so glad I woke up before we got too far into it. I wonder how many other parents have the same feeling. And how many young adults out there say, I wish my parents had been awake. I wish all this noise about pushing back had happened when I was facing it. And we have no idea how many children are being swept under the door with this. We're just going to do a reading exercise. Call Me Max. And Dad cites one part of the book.
There's one chapter in this book, one page, I think it's page 5. It says that sometimes when a baby is born, if it were able to speak, it may say it's not a boy or a girl. And that when the parents may have been wrong about the gender. I'm not citing it exactly, but you look at that page, it's like, you know, a little kid hearing maybe their parents got it wrong. I mean, that's just, I don't know, that's going to play some games in their mind.
Yeah. a little baby if it could speak, saying, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. Well, the baby can't speak, but we have medical professionals who are willing to speak for the child. Say, we can't know if it's a boy or girl yet. Oh, I know it has a penis, it has a vagina, but we can't determine yet. And some parents are buying into it. We don't know if it's a boy or girl until maybe it's 16. More on this coming up in our second hour. You do not want to miss it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.